Welcome to Brothers King Talk. Once again, we are in 1997, and my name is Samuel.
And I'm JP, and we are back with part two, or two-parter 1997 episode. This time, we are looking at, coincidentally, another Elton John song, this song titled Something About the Way You Look Tonight. This is the song that we're going to be talking about this one. It is actually... When we were talking about this beforehand, I called it the B-side. Samuel corrected me and said, no. This is the second A-side to this record. I had no idea what he was talking about. So, Samuel, tell us, how do we get a double song from the same artist in one year?
All right. So, record, what goes number one is very arbitrary and weird. And has a lot to do with how records were sold when this was first invented back in the 60s, 50s and 60s. Back when records were first invented and kind of sold and the charts were created, it was all based off of the little, 7-inch discs? I can't remember. Yeah. 7-inch discs. How many of those you sold determined your place on the charts. So the people making the charts would literally call a record store and be like, how many of Elvis Presley have we sold? How many of Frank Sinatra have we sold? And that determined each song's place on the chart. And on those discs, there would be the A side, the main song, you know, so like an Elvis Presley single. And then there'd be the B side, which would be like Elvis Presley's cover of Roy Orbison or something.
Right, yeah.
Now, some artists release what's called double A-sides, which means they intended both songs on each side of the disc to climb the charts simultaneously, essentially to pit two songs out at the same time and both be equally popular.
Mm-hmm.
The Beatles did this, for instance, with Strawberry Fields Forever and I Am the Walrus, I believe. No, maybe it was Hello Goodbye. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. Something in that air.
Right.
So this can create the unique effect as it did for Elton John, where if you have two songs and you call it a double A side, they will both equally climb the charts so long as that individual disc is being sold. In 1997, we still sold discs. We've called them CDs now. And if you release two songs on that CD and called it a double A side, so long as that physical CD was being sold, it was considered climbing the charts. So Elton John released Candle in the Wind, the song we talked about last episode, which was a huge cultural touchstone. Mm-hmm. And as his double A-side, he released the first single from his new album at the time, Something About the Way You Look Tonight. And this created an interesting effect where both songs effectively climbed the charts throughout the entire year.
Right. And so this is unlike the 1966 and 1963 instances of double songs being number one, in which those were two separate songs by two different artists. This was kind of a unique situation for this particular song to be climbing. That being said, though, both songs appear on our chart. Both songs appear on our list, therefore... we're making this a two-part episode. So if you haven't heard the first one, you're not going to understand this one. Just kidding. You can still listen to this one and you'll be perfectly fine. But do listen to that first one. This song is called Something About the Way You Look Tonight by Elton John. Before we can get into this, I think you mentioned a cultural touchstone, Candle in the Wind was. I think another cultural touchstone happened in 1997. And it was pretty late in the year, actually. December 19th, in fact, James Cameron would release Titanic. This would then become, at the time, the highest grossing film of all time.
Until it was broken by James Cameron's Avatar.
Correct. But here's the crazy thing. Do you happen to know what the highest grossing film was before Titanic?
I would guess Gone with the Wind.
No, Jurassic Park.
Okay. So here's the funny thing about highest grossing films. Because of inflation, because when they give those numbers, they never adjust for inflation.
Right.
So because of inflation, newer movies will always make more money.
Sure.
So if you actually adjust it for inflation, I think Gone with the Wind is still the highest grossing film adjusted for inflation. But still, that is interesting, that probably. Jurassic Park.
Yeah, Jurassic Park. And I think currently Avatar is still number one. And I think Avengers Endgame is number two.
I think Endgame's number one.
No, I looked at it when I was doing the research, and I think it's still, either way, it's neither here nor there. It was, at the time, the highest grossing film of all time, and it was released in 97, much to critical and public acclaim.
Very nice. Well, let's go ahead and talk about something that I don't feel like was quite as big of a deal as Titanic. The second A-side from Elton John in 1997. This was written by Elton John and Bernie Taupin once again. And I really wonder, I don't wonder, I'm pretty convinced this song would not be anywhere near as successful without Candle in the Wind. 'Cause on first listen, I was just unimpressed. My first, I kind of like to do like you said the last episode, go in and just give a cold listen to kind of give myself what was this like.
Mm-hmm.
And on first listen, I was not impressed at all. And I was just like, yeah, this was riding the coattails of Candle in the Wind really hard.
Yeah. I've kind of discussed or discovered something about myself. I don't really care for Elton John. It's not that I don't like his music. There's certain, I definitely see the cultural relevance, but it's kind of like the same way that I feel about the Beatles. And I've mentioned this about the Beatles. I don't really care. You know, I don't dislike, I don't like. It's just, they're there for me. So this is very similar. And although this is the double A side, I felt like this one was slightly better, honestly. And that's, I'm not saying, that's not saying a lot, because I didn't love the last one either, but I seem to be a fan of B-sides, and although, yes, this is considered the other A-side, I still would consider it a B-side, in my opinion, just the way that it works, you know, the way that it was released, obviously, but I found the majestic qualities found in this track, they kind of seem to be absent from Candle in the Wind, because although this is still quite, and I'm going to move on to the music here, but it's not what I want from Elton John. You know, when I think of his music, I think of tracks like I'm Still Standing. That's a powerhouse pop rock song. And this track, as well as Candle in the Wind, they're both these big ballads. And I've just kind of gotten a little worn out on power ballads. I don't know if that's just something we have listened to.
We've
a lot
had of like we've 10 of them this decade.
I swear. I mean, just I've gotten so much. It's overwhelming a little bit. It's just been a lot. But this song kind of straddles the line between pop and rock and ballad. And it, just like the last one, Candle in the Wind, feels very well put together. It feels very, very well synthesized. Although, I have to say it does sound a tad bit overproduced for my taste. But other than that, I would say it's still a good listen.
See, so for me, the Elton John songs I like, there's only like two or three I've really listened to, right? Uh-huh. And the two I like is Tiny Dancer and Rocket Man. Both are power ballads. So I think I'm a bit more tolerant of power ballads than you. For me, the music in this song, though, is very similar in that ballad fashion to Candle. It's more upbeat. Definitely sounds like something sung at a wedding, I feel like, was my first kind of instinct for it.
Mm-hmm.
But hearing this back-to-back with Candle in the Wind, the straightforward production on this doesn't work quite as well for me. I don't know. It feels like it's missing something. Like, it feels almost plastic, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. And so that, I'm actually just going to jump right into the lyrics, because kind of like the music, the lyrics are okay. There's nothing really offensive about them. He's singing about how beautiful someone is and how amazing they are. And it's a really nice sentiment. But kind of like the music, I feel like it carries all the weight of a Hallmark card.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel any weight or depth to the song. It just kind of exists. And I think hearing it back to back with Candle in the Wind kind of dampered my enthusiasm for the song. Because I may like it a bit more if I heard it more in isolation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really all I have to say about both the music and lyrics, honestly.
Yeah, you know, I kind of find myself stretching a little bit. But it to me, I think it's kind of funny to listen to the chorus. He can't explain, I can't describe, but then the rest of the song is him describing and explaining something about the way you look tonight. He can't explain how it happens, but it's because of the way you look. Now I think the thing that I take away from this song is it does a great job of, this song could be about anyone, whereas Candle in the Wind was very specific, reworked for Princess Diana, as we discussed. This song does a great job of being about whoever the listener is. It's one of those songs where if you want it to be about you, you could see yourself in those lyrics. If you wanted to play this song for your significant other, like let's say you're really good at the piano, and you're a really good singer, and you want to perform this song for your significant other as a special whatever, you could do that, and they would think you're singing it directly to them about them. And I think that's really, really something special, because it's one thing that I think is difficult to do. You know, I think that's something that's like the trope that boy bands tend to use. It's like, oh, boy bands are singing songs that, you know, you always think they're talking directly to you, but really they're talking to everyone, or they're mass manufactured songs. It's not relevant. My point is that this song is a little bit better. It's marginally better than its counterpart, Candle in the Wind, in my opinion. And I think that's because of its universality. Not that, I don't think that's a word. It's universally understood by the listener. And I think that's something that even if you had never heard it before, you could hear yourself in this song.
Okay. See, I'm split, because I personally don't love the trope of making a song about anyone or anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fine line, because there are certain songs where that does work, right? Where the vagueness works to its strength and lets it be about anything. But there's other times when, like I said earlier, it can kind of feel plastic and manufactured when it's going that mm-hmm. route. And it's a fine line, and art is subjective. My favorite kind of songs, though, tend to be stories, you know, where I feel like I'm hearing a story from the song.
Yeah.
And this, if this was a story, would be one of those choose your own adventure books that had all the complexity of a, you know, a Lego manual.
Right.
So I don't know. I'm probably being harsher on it than I mean to. I think it's an okay song, but it sits in the shadow, pun totally intended, of Candle in the Wind.
Yeah.
So I actually gave this, Candle in the Wind, I gave 2s across the board. This one, I give 1.5 across the board. Lyrics, 1.5. Music, 1.5. Overall, 1.5. What that means for me is it's a C+ song. This gives it a 4.5 out of 9. Perfectly down the middle. It's a totally okay song.
Right, yeah.
And that's kind of, you know, that's just, it's 50%. It's an okay song.
Right, right. You know, obviously this song is part of Elton John's very expansive catalog. And so many people are more familiar with that catalog than I. But even so, this is not a song that you hear about today. This is not a song that people talk about. I mean, this is a song that, based on my research, now I didn't actually see the 2019 film Rocket Man, which is about Elton John's life. But based on the soundtrack that I looked up, this song isn't even talked about or included or discussed in that movie. So, I mean, granted, he's got a lot going on in his life. Obviously, the movie can't cover everything. But if it was that influential of a song, you would think that it would be found there. But although this song is marginally better than its counterpart, I still don't think that it's anything worth sticking around too long for. So I did give it a little bit higher, just a smidge higher, 1.5 for the music, 2 for the lyrics, and 1.5 for overall. And I think that the 2 is just marginally better because this is the type of song that can be changed up or refitted. I think another good example of a way that it can be refit is the way that the song, another song by Elton John called Your Song, is refitted and sung by Ian McGregor in the film Moulin Rouge. If the song was written in such a way where they aren't able to put it in like a movie like that, I think that this song could have been put into Moulin Rouge and it would have fit just as well. But obviously the story would have been a little bit different, but that's not the point. My point is it's more universal and it can be put into more places, whereas Candle in the Wind is hyper specific to that one event, however influential or impactful that event was, this song just has more use to it.
Fair enough. All right, guys, this has been our review of 1997's Something About the Way You Look Tonight by Elton John. Once again, my name is Samuel.
And my name is JP. And once again, thank you for listening.
And as always, this has been a Brothers King Media production.